A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paul Hawksby.
Oh, and Andy Jacobs.
Always on the ball.
That's me.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined in the studio by Jar Wobble. Find out how he got that name.
Good laugh, he was. He was good.
He's a big Spurs fan. He was telling us a few tales. And also Olaf Falafel, the comedian. Everybody had a bit of a funny name today.
He did.
Olaf Falafel, comedian and illustrator, children's book. He's got a very good...
Neither of them, I don't think that's their real names.
No, that's very true.
So, although Sockley, that is his real
Sockley
name.
Sockley Park, you're going to hear him.
Yeah, that is his real name.
That is his real name. How did he get on in Don't Ask Me? And some various bits and pieces, where planning news, etc. Andy ranting about Chelsea, yeah, as you'd expect.
Of course.
Here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
I'd like to start with a question.
Oh, yeah.
Can you buy 11 new players in one transfer window?
I think it's a real shame that I can't read out the WhatsApps that you send me during and after Chelsea games, because we would be taken off air. I think I'd be safer talking about Dennis Politic. But the ravings of a madman.
No, they're not. My weekend went rapidly downhill at 12:34. Honestly, Christensen, I've never seen anything like it. I don't know what... I've been, you know, basically I think Frank Lampard's done a reasonable job so far, and I've been keeping my counts. I don't want to be critical because I know it's a difficult season and all that stuff. But when you pick him over Tomori, I just don't get that.
Well, Chelsea's injured. Or
he's not injured. He's on the bench. If he's on the bench, he can play.
He's not fit to start, Andy. You've got to trust Frank. He hasn't let you down so far.
I'm sorry. That is just unacceptable. I mean, that piece on Match of the Day of being bullied by Calvert-Lewin was so embarrassing. I mean, it's like being bullied by Judge Rinder. It's absolutely appalling.
Huh? No. You ever been bullied by Judge Rinder? 08717. Yeah.
Honestly, really, he's not been the same player since he made that rick against Barca. And personally, I just wouldn't pick him.
There was always a danger of that, though, wasn't there? You know, Duncan comes in and they're going to get a lift and they have a bit...
Oh, yeah,
they were ratting around, weren't they? They were a different team.
Yeah, you know they're going to lump the ball along. I mean, those Wimbledon 88 tactics that he...
It's your turn in the barrel, Everton. Christensen's at his.
That won't work for Everton. As soon as Everton come up against a team that actually play with a bit of heart and match them for physically, which is what you need to do, they'll lose because you can't play. They just give the ball away the whole time. All you needed was a centre-half and head the ball. I mean, I can't even say what I want to say. I mean, really, honestly.
Well, I think you said that on those
pitiful
WhatsApps.
No, you know, it just really, really...
You weren't particularly impressed with Conte, you were telling me as well.
Well,
he's a player that everybody would want.
Brilliant at winning the ball. He runs about. He's got a tremendous engine. And he has games where he's absolutely brilliant, like in the Super Cup final against Liverpool. He was wonderful that night. But he has games where he's like a dog with a balloon. He can't control the ball. 3-yard pass, he can't make that. He lost the ball for the first goal, but basically Christensen was at fault for every single goal. I mean, and Kepa. I mean, about 4 weeks ago...
Stitched up like a Kepa.
Matt Scott said to me, you do know that Kepa statistically is the worst keeper in the Premier League. And I was thinking, is he? And then now, since he said that, I've been watching him. I think, oh yeah, and I see what you mean now. I mean, his shot-to-save ratio is terrible. The kick, I think it's worse, his attitude. Mm. I mean, that kick, that third goal was entirely his fault from that ridiculous kick out.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, oh, well, it's not me, is it? It's everybody else, you know. I don't know. But it's interesting, because under Marco Silva, they would never have adopted those Wimbledon tactics, that's for sure.
Well, there wouldn't have been that urgency in their play. You knew from the off they were right up for it.
They'll get hammered at United.
Do you want them to go down?
Of course. Yeah. Steve McManaman.
So what's the way in it?
We are the run-enders, though. We play West Ham, they hadn't won for seven games.
Yeah.
They win against Chelsea. We play against Everton, they're absolutely hopeless. They also haven't won for ages. They win. Bournemouth, they've got no players.
I know, a lot of injuries.
Completely injuries. They haven't won, they've lost five games in a row. Get your money on Bournemouth to Saturday. It's guaranteed.
Yeah.
Really, honestly. Steve McManaman was funny. He went, I've really enjoyed the game. I thought, of course you have. Chelsea are losing. couldn't be happier, could you?
Well, you know, what do you expect him to say?
Oh, God, I didn't enjoy it at all.
What a...
2-1, they were still in the game, Chelsea. Yeah, could. You would have asked them to go on and nick a point. But, you know, that kick out was hopeless. Well, I was fascinated by Burnley. Obviously not great at the Pep Guardiola-style tactical fouling.
No.
What on earth did they do?
You're talking to Danny Murphy about it,
the four of them
yeah.
on the halfway line. Why didn't they bring him down?
I know. Yeah, all you got to do is just got to put out a foot. It was very good of them not to do that, though. Fantastic.
I did enjoy Wan-Bissaka. Before they even started talking about him and Tony Cascarino around him, I just thought this boy is defensively absolutely brilliant. He had Sterling in his pocket, didn't he, really? And
That was a great performance, again, off the back of Tottenham. You often wonder whether they were able to go again, but they were brilliant, weren't they?
Sometimes you go, oh, he's not great going forward. Let's go with the bloke that's great going forward. But in the end, defenders have to defend.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it. Mm. And so if you're playing, you know, if England are playing against a good team like France, he'd be a much better bet than somebody who's good going forward but can't actually defend. Like Alexander-Arnold, who's a very good player, he's a wonderful player. But,
really,
defensively, he's nowhere near as good as Wan-Bissaka.
Our other option there, Trippier, is the same. Mm. He's much better going forward than he is defensively. Yeah, so you make a good point.
It's a good option for...
He's going to get a look in. Now, understand, Andy, you had a fall at the weekend. Is this right?
How do you know
you
that?
You told me.
Oh, did I?
How did I know about it? You said to me, I'll tell you on air. You said...
I didn't realise. Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought I hadn't mentioned it.
No, you said to me, I'll tell you on air that I had a fall.
Oh, God. Idiot.
Completely stacked it. Is this right?
Yeah.
So where were you?
I was on the tube. I was coming in Leicester Square Tube Station, catching a train to the Embankment and Northern Line.
Didn't fall over, he had a fall.
The doors were open.
Yeah.
And I thought, I could just see it, and I thought, I'll sprint for that.
Oh.
And I thought, I'll just make a nice... There was an empty space in front. There weren't a lot of people in the carriage. So I thought, I'll leap from the platform, gazelle-like, onto the platform and arrive in quite a stylish way.
Yeah.
And I caught my foot on the edge of the train. On the lip of the train. So I went flying. I landed full blast on both knees, fell forward. Really, really hurt. People were coming around. Are you all right, mate? Are you all right, sir? Are you okay? Okay. Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, I wish I'd seen it. If anybody's filmed it, it'd be good. So you went down on the knees, caught it, and then what, bag flying
still
everywhere?
Really coat, painful, yeah.
Coat bagged a lot, was it?
Yeah.
Glasses skew if. Eric Morecambe sort of around the side of your head.
It wasn't the most graceful entrance I've
ever made. Headphones everywhere, bags. You didn't run into anybody, though. You didn't nut anybody on your way down.
That would have been good,
though.
Yeah, that would have been terrible.
If it was a full carriage and you'd done that, you'd have skittled a load of people.
That would have been disastrous, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Wow.
There you go.
So how are the knees? They grazed or bruised?
No, they're bruised.
You got a proper Nan's rhubarb and custard bruise?
No, they're all bruised inside.
Oh, okay. Internal bruising.
How
can you tell that? Surely it manifests itself as a bruise.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Last week in Don't Ask Me, the moment of the show, right at the end every Monday when we put Andy's memory of last week to the test with five questions based on every day of the shows. He got 5 out of 5. Well, he didn't. Sockley Park, his alter ego, his glove puppet chum, got 5 out of 5. So Sockley's back this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm
so
just getting him out now.
Just getting...
He's been in the bag. He's been in my bag.
He's looking a bit weathered.
He is a bit creased.
He is a bit creased.
He'll be all right. He's just give him a bit of an airing.
He's a sort of Santa stocking thing, a sort of red and white felt thing. But Andy has sellotaped eyes onto him. A bit creepy, really. But anyway, we'll be doing that. Olaf Falafel pops into see us. Comedian, author, fine illustrator as well. He's put some football illustrations together. And you've been suggesting some new ones for him. So we'll explain more when he joins us later on. We'll talk boxing as well in light of Anthony Joshua's fine win at the weekend. And Bruce Mennington joins us from the Racing Post. A big story in the world of racing this weekend. A number of top jockeys banned for 10 days. They're going to be appealing against it for not spotting a yellow flag and stopping in a race, which they say they didn't see. And it's going to be expensive for them all over the busy Christmas period. But before all of that, Andy, I thought we might try something a little bit different we haven't done before.
Yeah.
It's a T20 one size fits all. You know that little thing we used to do back in the day where you have to do, fits all, of course, was known as one size in the dressing room. So it's what this person would be known as in the dressing room. And so we're asking you to come up with one today. And this is a Southend player.
Okay.
And his name is Brandon Goodship. Brandon Goodship. So what's he known as in the dressing room?
Lollipop.
Lollipop, yeah. Venus for the rugby players out there.
Yeah.
I don't sing the whole song. But I'll put that to the TalkSport listeners as well. Just a one-off thing. Good old Brandon Goodship. I think with Venus and Lollipop, we've probably... They must call him... so I imagine he's called Lollipop, then somebody's called him Lolly, then someone's called him Lowell. He's probably known as Lowell in the South End dressing room.
Or Popo.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Brandon Goodship, what a tremendous
what
name.
What a great name.
T20 I love that name. Spread.
Talking of names, it was great to see Brighton bring on Lady Bracknell's favourite player yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on the wing.
They should be quite tempted, really. If you're doing the commentary on Brighton at any point, you should say it like
I
don't think the next time Martin's doing one of their games, he'll do that in the style of. Yeah, that would be good. Terrible news for you, Andy, as a fan of dog shows. Peter Purvis has been axed from Crufts.
What?
I knew I'd get that reaction. 40 years, man and boy, he's been doing
That's
it.
That's a bit harsh.
40 years. He says it's ageism, pure and simple.
Oh, it is.
That's
pathetic.
They want to take it in a different direction.
Oh, you can imagine. Honestly.
So I don't know if they've said that. I'm just guessing that. But but anyway, I was just thinking, Andy, that
wrong
maybe
that.
We
Why
should
Why don't you
step
wait
in?
For Peter to retire? Can't Why have we, you got to do that?
If we start to lobby TalkSport, would dog shows on the radio work? I'm looking next door. Producer thinks not. I mean, well, I might get you to produce it because your job is to make it work, John. Yeah. If you call yourself a producer of radio, if I say to you, dog show, go, you've got to turn Crufts into a radio extravaganza.
Well, it's the powers of description. You've got to be able to, you know, describe
well,
the
that's
dogs.
Where, that's where Pete pops in. I
mean, yeah. If, oh, you if think we're not willing, gonna, oh, we'll
what I'm
Pete.
Saying, what I'm saying, we... Yeah.
Good idea, excuse right, me. Blimey.
Yeah, we'll get Peter Purvis to step in and be our man at Crufts.
Well, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not putting up the money or anything. It's nothing to do with me. But we've done the darts on the radio and they said that wouldn't work and it's been absolutely fantastic, as it will be again
We can start our own Talk Crufts just for the little radio station.
Just a little
station.
Talk Crufts little station.
Yeah, I think that could work.
Okay, well, look, we'll put that to the bosses. We'll put a pitch together and our own John Callaghan there to produce it. Obviously, a man with so many... what was that you suggested? Croft Hargreaves has been suggested as one of the presenters. That's very clever.
That's not clever at all.
No, it's not, is it, really?
Excuse me.
You're right, you're a bit trouble.
I like the gossip columns in the papers. This one attracted me. Somebody called Anne Marie has fallen victim to...
she's a singer, isn't she?
Yes, I believe so, yes. Yeah. Capital's Jimmy Hill's drunken messages, apparently.
Jimmy Hill?
Yeah, exactly. Speaking before she opened day two of Jingle Bell Ball, Jimmy confessed...
These are just words, Anne. No, you don't know what the heck you're talking about.
Jimmy confessed, I've got to apologise, actually, Anne Marie, because I DM'd you the other day, didn't I?
Oh, yeah, good old Jim.
That's not
can't
true.
Be the, yeah, obviously,
wasn't,
can't be the same
obviously
one.
Not the same
Johnson,
one.
Johnson, planning news.
Yes, please.
When young journalists aren't perusing Twitter or other social media outlets, they look at planning news for the rich and famous and see if anything's popped up. Well, somebody dropped on the other day because Kyle Walker has riled his neighbours by planning a 13-foot screen around his five-a-side football pitch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that would be a bit annoying for the neighbours.
He said he's already put up a 6-foot artificial ivy barrier. Remember Ivy Barrier?
Lovely
She's going
girl.
Bingo with my nan. She's a lovely woman without planning permission. Can you put up a 6-foot ivy barrier without planning permission? I'm not quite sure. The Man City defender, 29, now wants to keep it and double its height. So Ivy Barrow's about to get 13-foot tall.
That could be tricky. I don't think you'll win that one.
You don't think so? Well, I mean, you're not in the planning department up in the North West, Andy. You don't know what you're talking about.
This story I told you as well is a real Johnny
Nash.
We'll
keep an eye on that for you. Who can possibly forget the will they, won't they on Kevin Keegan's extension? We kept you in touch with that for months and we'll be right across.
Did we ever resolve it?
Carl Walker's Ivy Barrow, latest edition. Interview with Pep.
Did Kevin ever get the
extension? Yeah, Kevin got his extension. Now, remember, yeah. we played a bit of the Pogues.
Yeah,
when he got
celebrate.
It.
Well, that's very nice, yeah. Isn't it? A British team has won the Drone Racing World Championship for a third consecutive year after a contest between eight teams in a Romanian salt mine.
Yeah.
Which is odd enough to start with. The pilots wore goggles. What they would do is a salt mine, giving a first-person view from their drones as they flew at almost 100 miles an hour. This is the bit that gets me. Some 180,000 people, used to be, was it 180? No, 180,000 people watched the final, which was broadcast live on the Champs-Élysées in Paris.
So really, people turned out in Paris. 180,000 people on the streets of Paris. Wouldn't we have heard about that?
I know. It seems impossible. Why didn't they hold it on the streets of Paris?
They weren't just people.
Why did they go to Romania to a salt mine when all the interest was in the Champs-Élysées? I'd have held it on the Champs-Élysées.
They weren't just sort of...
There wouldn't have been 180,000 people at a salt mine.
They weren't just sort of gilets jaunes people who were just kind of watching it for nothing better to do while they're out on the streets of Paris.
I'm only the messenger here.
Oh, okay.
I'm only reading what's in the paper.
Now, in Stryker, the excellent comic strip in The Sun, you went off Stryker. I found it hard to believe because you're a big fan, but you went off Stryker at one period when they came up with...
It's not in there anymore, is it?
Well, the World League. Do you remember the World League?
I just realised, it hasn't been there for a few months.
Well, maybe they're having a bit of a break. Have you heard what's been going on? Because Florentino Perez, the Real president, has put forward the idea for a World League.
Oh, go away.
He has,
just
yeah.
Go away.
A 40-team World League, Andy.
Who wants that? Nobody wants that.
Certainly Alexander Seferin doesn't. The UEFA president has called it insane.
Well, he's got a point.
It would be hard to think of a more egotistical scheme, he said. Far-fetched. I cannot believe anyone has dreamed it up.
I agree.
So there
you.
We are. So the World League, but look out for it. And do you think we're too old? Are you too old, you think, Andy?
I'm certainly too old.
Are you too old?
The answer to that question will always be yes.
Are you too old for us, for me and John, our producer, in between his work on making Crufts happen on radio? Are you too old for us to take you to see Father Christmas? Yeah. What's the cutoff, you think, for taking someone to see Father? What do you think? You'd say a bit older
eight
than
to
that. 10. Would you say 10, 12? I mean, yeah, 12. I mean,
12?
12?
I think 12's getting on a bit.
Okay, fair enough. So, would you like to come and see, would you like to go and see Santa?
No.
You're not keen?
Well, I don't know.
Watch it.
Yeah.
I think it would be nice for you to see.
Well, we can go. I don't mind.
Yeah,
will I get a little present for
you? Ask for a left back. I think you might. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Do you know how much it costs these days to see Santa on average? You pop in and see him in your local department store or if there is such a thing.
Well, I would have said a fiver, but I bet it isn't. I bet it's more a tenner.
Well, it's gone up. They reckon the average cost was £9.39 to see the great man.
I hope you get something more than just a sort of, you know.
Oh, no, you'll get. You know, Santa, he'll give you a gift. Well, you're not going to leave empty handed. Not like being in Bullseye. Look what you could have had. You won't go far wrong with this Action Man. Couldn't do that, Tony, there. Look at all the things you could have had.
Ridiculous.
But no, it's gone up £12.63 in the last 3 years. 35% increase. Santa, he's raking it in. He's doing all right at the moment, isn't he?
It's his big, busy time of year.
He's like a football agent. He's got to make it now, hasn't he? That's the thing with Santa. He makes his money. This is very much
his cup final,
isn't he?
He's quite quiet the rest of the year,
March,
really.
March, he's got... That's nothing down for him.
He quite likes Cheltenham.
Well, he goes,
you don't recognise him because he's wearing tweeds.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll look out for him at Cheltenham when we're there this year.
He still comes in on the reindeer.
Yeah. So you don't want to go and see Santa then?
All right, if you insist.
Okay. That look on their face when he went in. It'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Oh, they're looking for grandkids.
John holding my hand.
They're looking for grandkids. There are no grandkids. And he wants to see your Santa. What have you got for him? He's got £12.63 and he's not paying any more. You'd go to Harrods, wouldn't you? Some Fabergé egg from him, wouldn't you, really?
Really?
I would imagine.
Probably, yeah. The person with the most front this whole weekend was a story I was reading about yesterday. Was the bloke who inadvertently received 193 grand in his bank account.
Oh, yeah.
And refused to give it back. Really? It was incredible.
What, this, by an error? An accounting error?
Yeah, this bloke, this guy had received an inheritance, filled out the slip to pay it in, got one of he got the wrong sort code.
All right.
And so it went into an account number. The guy had the same account number as him, but a different sort code.
Yeah.
And he knew it had gone in there, and he was contacted. And he said, no, I'm not giving it back. And the bank said, well, we can't do anything. You've put the money into his account.
Really?
So they said, but we realise it's a bit of unfortunate for you, so we've made a small token gesture of 25 quid. 193 grand. In the end, it cost him 46 grand to go to court and get the money back.
Wow.
The bloke had to, in the end, A, reveal who he was, and B, actually give... Can you imagine the front of thinking, no, I'm not giving that back. It's my money now. 193 grand. God, you've got some front to do there. Yeah, not right, indeed. Really. Anyway, he did finally get the money back, which is a good thing.
Or some of it, anyway.
Well, that's true, minus the 46 grand.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. We're joined in the studio now by a big Spurs fan, musician, member back in the day of Public Image Limited with John Lydon. He fronts his own band these days, Invaders of the Heart, and they are touring starting next year. Jar Wobble joins us. Good to see you.
And you, Paul.
Thanks for coming in.
It's great to be here. This is, it means something, the creme de la creme of radio. I used to listen to the way the timings work. I'd used to listen in the one with Darren Goff. That was the only two things. I don't listen to radio now at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apart from if I'm out and about driving in the afternoon, it's the only time I put it on. But I avoid the car now. More likely to be on the train.
Oh, right. Yeah. You were saying that your son was kind of playing at academies and you're out and about in the car.
That's when I used to listen. I live in Stockport, so I drive away from Stockport to Wigan. Lovely journey in Russia.
And he was there under Roberto Martinez.
Yeah, he was a nice guy. And at first he had some great coaches there to start with, you know, and he was a full pro. He got signed. I was worried about his education. So I took him out, said non-league's just as good, because I was worried he was a bright boy. I don't know where he got it from. anyway, so he put me in non-league, and then he hit the ground running there. So scouts comes. He got Jackie McNamara signed him. But the point come, we're all musicians. We've got a family album coming out.
Oh, wow. That's really nice.
What was that family in American TV? Anyway,
Partridge Family.
So we've got this album coming out.
Do your own TV series like the Partridge Family.
And he had a point coming. Yeah, that's what,
What does he play?
He sings, he raps, he plays keyboards, but me misses his child. She grew up in Liverpool, but she come from China. So Charlie plays Chinese violin, or who? My elder boy, John Tai Tai, they call him. He's a good boxer.
Oh.
But he plays, Geltman don't like him boxing, which is fair enough. He plays, knocks on the head. And he plays Chinese drums and yanting, like dulcimer. But he does his hip hop as well.
Wow.
They're in both societies, if you know what I mean.
Because your tour, I see here, starts at the Cavern Club in Liverpool.
So that's right, yeah.
Bit of a home.
Yeah, well, my missus runs Pagodi Arts Centre there, community centre. And so it's Liverpool's. Me, elder John lives there, so Liverpool. We've got quite a lot of links with Liverpool.
Yes,
you know.
You originally, because you were a mate of John Lyons, weren't you? So were you both kind of North London boys?
Well, let's get to it. I'm at the East End. I'm at Stepney.
Okay.
Yeah, we met at Kingsway. That was a college where it was like sixth form college, I suppose you'd call it. Now College of Further Education, where Mel Content went, and he'd had meningitis. And he'd missed 2 or 3 years of school. He was older than me. I'd been expelled from school. And that's where a lot of malcontents ended up. King's Cross. So I'd leave Whitechapel every day, get the tube up there, one very downhill area, up to another very downhill area.
Which has changed quite a lot.
And that's why I met John. Had me Tottenham scarf on, and he thought, yeah.
Because he's a gooner, of course,
he's
isn't
he? He's an absolute gooner, yeah. But we become mates.
Yeah. Could you have joined the Sex Pistols?
Apparently so, but it would have been the worst thing ever. I've got to tell you, that when he got into the Sex Pistols, so he disappeared from Kingsway.
Yeah.
And disappeared for a good few weeks at the start of the second year then, and he turned up, and I said, where you been? So I'm in a band. And you might as well have said, well, I'm studying to be a neuro doctor.
Because
or
not the sort of thing that kids like you did then. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so he said, do you want to come down and see him? So I'm actually got rough and ready with a ready wit, I like to think, like old East End boys. But I actually thought they're bound to be terrible. So I'll go and see him at rehearsal, and I'll just say the right things, like, oh, it was good. It's really coming on nice. But I thought it's going to be. He's going to be useless.
Mm.
So I'll get around to answering that question.
Yeah.
So I got there, and the best. I was amazed how good they were, and the best player in it was Glenn Matlock, the bass player. He was a great British, mate, great bass players.
Yeah, yeah.
McCartney, Ronnie Lane, you know, and they're great for making guitar chord patterns. Very interesting.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
inversions they play of the chords, you know, and Glenn's got that in spades, you know. So to put me in, it wouldn't have been a good fit. Public Enemy was better because I could just play naturally my style, and they played around me.
Yeah.
I was really lucky, you know. So no one ever said, oh, that ain't no. They all like Levine liked what I did. You know, they were into it. So they just fitted everything around my beelines.
Yeah, the Invaders and the Heart been going for a while now, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. I started in 1982.
So yeah, yeah.
There's been a lot of people come and go. This is Mark III, this
right.
one, you know.
And I noticed you play a couple of Public Image songs, don't you? I've noticed that. It looks on Spotify.
Oh, we do. Yeah, we do. Pop Tones, which is my favourite Peel song. I love everything about that tune to this day. I never get tired of playing it. It's so hypnotic. And Public Image, we do a version of that. And I do the same. I like to think I reach the same levels of angry indignancy that John does. You never listen to a word I say. You know? And... we do Fodder Stomp as well. We do a couple of instrumentals off of that box. But Fodder Stomp we do, which was the joke song that's actually very good at heart, that gets everyone dancing.
You know. So, I suppose in that you're part of London, it could have been West Ham for you. So why Spurs? Was that the family club?
My man was Millwall fan. His brother was Millwall.
Right.
Millwall and West Ham.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lovely, simple one. I played bass because of Aston family man Barrett.
Yeah, yeah. Bob Marley.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And I love Tottenham, and I still love Tottenham, even though they bring me nothing but sorrow for the main part, because of Jimmy Greaves.
Okay.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And Son's goal.
Yeah,
not,
we were saying
except
that.
It was like a fast version of Jimmy Greaves.
It was very Greaves-like.
And it was colour rather than black and white, but we all know
what
you mean.
Yeah.
No, it was. It was. And you were home and away, weren't you, until pretty recently?
That's right,
Spurs
fan. All over. In the 80s, I'd find out where Tottenham were playing, and I'd book the gigs there. And
really?
I've got this whole little. There's a lot of fellas who'd be listening who'd probably call in. And Gibbo died now, used to be the mainstay of that little firm. But when Tottenham fans were banned from all the hotels in Brussels, there was a lot of trouble. A guy got shot dead there.
Yeah.
Bless him. I think quite an innocent guy from what I remember back then. But anyway, you couldn't get in hotels because of my connections and that. I got everyone in. So I'd say, no scarves, you've got to really get in. So. We all acted like we were at a conference or something, and then we come out for the evening. It didn't go down well with
you. Were there any ever players over the years that were fans of the band, not just Spurs players, but footballers who were fans of the bands when you were playing?
I met who was the Aussie played for Liverpool? Craig
Johnson.
Young out of him. Yeah, he came to see us. And what a lovely bloke.
It's quite a character, Craig. Yeah,
he was a character.
Yeah. So he was into it. And there's been a few players, not from Tottenham, I don't think, you know. They're a funny breed footballers.
And we have to deal with the
name. Not as daft as people say, but they're a funny, they're like a sect footballers, with in jokes and everything, you know.
The name Jarwobble, is it true that it was Sid gave
and
it the name?
And I still remember we were trying to get in somewhere. It was in West London. And we had the keys to a gaff. And we were very drunk, indeed. And we couldn't manage it.
You just couldn't physically get the key in the door?
Couldn't get the key. It went falling over. He fell over onto a boot scraper. I remember the days of boot scraper.
Oh, God, blimey, yeah, that's been good.
We were lagging, absolutely lagging, to be fair. And he said, you know, I'm going to call you Jarwobble. Because John, I said, Waddle's my real name, John Joseph Waddle. But Waddle, I said, I'm going to keep that, Sid, because no one will forget it. Because up to then, it was the four Johns. It was me, John Beverly, Sid, John Lydon, another guy called John Gray, who worked with the NME for a little while, who was very good mates with John Lydon. You know, so it was the four Johns. We used to drink in the Three Johns Public House off Pentonville Road, which is still there.
More confused.
You check in a hotel, do you call yourself, you get the call for Mr. Wobble, come to the reception, do you still get a bit of that?
You get a bit of that, but I'm normally under my own name.
Yeah.
Or they work, if you're having a little purple patch, you actually have it. I used to be John Speed. My old manager would remember that. For some reason, I don't know if it was Gary Spokes, it would be John Speed. And that was the name that I come up with. Because you'd still, to this day, you do get a few nuisances who find you and then think it's funny in the way I used to think it was funny to phone people at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yes, you've got a completely hooky name now at times, you know.
So, the tour, as Andy said, starts at the Cavern, 16th of January, Manchester, Leeds, London, Brighton, Colchester, Cardiff, Bristol, Southampton, Newcastle, a couple of gigs in Glasgow, Exeter, Birmingham, and Nottingham.
And a load more have been added to that.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. So, oh, okay. Yeah.
I think all the details are on jarwobble.com.
That's it, yeah.
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 And just quick one on Jose. Well, I mean, I think you're probably sad.
Start of the season, I said Mourinho was going to get the job here. Laughed out of court by all the Spurs fans. Levy will never stomach it. It's too much of a gamble not to have a guy like that. Mm. You have to have a manager with gravitas there. And I'm going to tell you this. Just go like that. Put the sign across your neck when you've had enough of me talking about this, right? Last year, Pochettino was a revelation when he came to the first... We can't argue that. Look at the energy levels rose. He was a revelation. But at Tottenham, there's always been a streak of daftness and Spursiness and unprofessionalism.
Mm.
Whilst Liverpool are flying in the Benfica B team to play a practice game in the week leading up to the Champions League final last year, where they get that Benfica B team to perform in the way Tottenham do, which is two number 10s, you don't run much, I suppose, at that time, but whatever. Yeah. And built the fences up so no one could see him doing that. While they're doing that, our manager said, oh, you know what? If we win, I don't know if I'll be here next, you know, after this game, really.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not very Napoleonic, is it? Point,
yeah, you know. And so it was all getting daft. And I just want someone there who sets their stall out to win things, who's going to be methodical. I'm a bit OCD-ish. I like things in their place.
Mm.
I like someone like Dyer. You just sit in front of that back four. You position yourself cleverly. You win balls. You win headers round the centre circle and you lay it off.
You know, so he's simple, Matic. He likes a player like that, doesn't he?
Yes.
A few stories suggesting they might try and sign Fellaini yesterday.
Oh, no.
3 minutes left, stick him in the mixer.
I don't think that'll happen, but I think he was, you know, it got a bit silly at United, how decried he was. He wasn't that bad, Fellaini, you know. But we've already got one with Dyer in a way.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Olaf Falafel is a comedian. He gave us the funniest joke at the Fringe this year. Kids book author, illustrator. We chatted to him about his book, One Giant Leap for Mankind. He took the other day, I noticed, as I do, follow him on Twitter, that he turned his attention to football. I was coming up with some very interesting little drawings. One featuring Tony Yeboah on a mower in Samoa. Also, Steve Stone and Ian Wone playing trombone and xylophone in an old folks' home. The illustrations are fantastic to accompany them. We had Phil Babb eating a kebab in a cab. We thought we'd get Olaf in and to see where this all came from. Good to see you again.
Nice to see you, chaps. How's it going?
So this was just a bit of amusement for you, was it really?
Well, to be honest with you, I was bored and I did what any sane person would do. I started drawing
90s Premiership footballers in situations that rhyme with their surname. Quite. What else would you do?
Classic way, either that or a jigsaw, isn't it? Normally it's a while away.
Spot of gardening or. Yeah. No, I did the Yeboah one first because it was just something that was in my head for a while and I had to kind of exercise that demon. And then Steve Stone and Ian Wohan kind of popped up and it was kind of just carried on from there.
And you've done another one. You've done a Bowie Ian Dowie on the island of Maui,
really,
which is
beautiful.
Nice. Him holding a cocktail.
Yeah, I put that on Twitter this morning. If anyone wants to see it, I saw a comment there from a few Luton fans who said it should have been in a Luton kit, and another guy said I haven't drawn him ugly enough.
Everyone's an expert. You notice that's fantastic.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Luton one. What are you thinking? Ricky Hill in Deal.
Well, no, I'm trying to get a 90s vibe on these.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking possibly Lars Elstrup.
Oh, cool. That's not easy to work with, is it?
It's not, but I'm sure we'll get some suggestions. Roy Wegerle might be another one.
Roy Wegerle? Can you think of anything with Roy Wegerle?
I've not thought about it enough, to be honest
Brian
with you.
Brian Steen would work.
Steen would. Yeah.
Gives you plenty there.
Yeah, in East Cheam, as Tony Hancock.
One thing, if we are going to throw this out to listeners, one thing I really want to do Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank in a bottle bank, but I want it to be family friendly.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know what he's doing there.
Oh, what is he doing in a bottle?
See.
Oh, yeah.
That's there we go. We've got that.
That's right. Driving a tank to a bottle bank.
Driving a massive tank.
A massive tank. That might work. We've asked some of the listeners to come once. We had Alan McAnally and Dele Alli off to marry at the Alley Pally. It's quite nice for Neil, the Spurs fan. Roy Keane looking mean on a lean, mean, fat-reducing grilling machine in Gretna Green, says Adam. David Pleat, that kind of worked. David Pleat taking up his seat on a plane to Crete. And you could have gone in very different directions, Robin Bristol. We thank you that you didn't. Pascal Sigon in a Renault Megane on the Isle of Mon. It doesn't really work, does it?
When you stretch that one.
That's Rob.
I had John Terry and George Berry on a ferry to Derry.
That's
there you go.
We like that one.
That works.
Alan Clark in the dark with a lark in a park with Viduka, brackets Mark.
Jason Park.
It could have been Jason Park.
He was there.
He had to be there.
Our own Ian Danter's weighed in with one. Ian Danter sat with Santa having a bit of banter and drinking Fanta from a large decanter.
Thank you very much.
We can give you a reference for that. Harry Kane with a Great Dane on a train to Maine. You could decide whether the Great Dane is a dog or Christian Eriksen, says Andy Martin. And we've got Tim Vine's got involved. Ooh. He says Joe Cole and Paul Gascoigne in a Wendy house. I haven't quite got the hang of this, he admits. So thank you very much for that, Tim. Peter Shilton with a kit on in the Park Lane Hilton.
Is that with a kilt on?
Oh, a kilt, not a kit. I do apologise. With a kilt
Stilton
on.
Stilton had to be in
Stilton.
There.
That's why
in Stilton in the Park Lane Hilton. Yeah.
That would work.
And Carl Walker, that was from, didn't put his name on that. And Carl Walker bowling a Yorker in Majorca, says Canary Mark. So the listeners come through. I think there's a few
they're
good
doing
ones.
Good, yeah, I mean, I'm going to have a sift through and see if I can bring some of these to life.
Yeah, that's right. Darren Goff and Dino Zoff in bed with a cough. Being looked after by Frank Boff, says Gab Cancello.
Well, you introduced Frank Boff there and it all of a sudden got a little bit sexual, didn't it?
Troy Deeney buying a bikini on the island of Santorini. No,
sorry,
you're not having that one.
That.
You can't have any Watford players.
Exactly.
Ben in London, wash your mouth out. Yeah. But they're great. I think they've captured the imagination.
It's a very good idea.
Well, they were done purely for my own amusement and now a few people have suggested, you know, you could do one of these kind of have by the side of the toilet books.
It
does feel like it. So who knows if there's enough.
The kids' book, I read it to my grandchildren and I was loving it. But they were a bit young, I think, because they were like 5, 4, and 3. I think you need to be a little.
They loved the pictures, though, didn't they?
They loved the pictures, but they need to be a little. I think for sort of 4 to 8 is perfect, that book.
Yeah,
it's
very
funny.
To a young person out there.
Yeah.
And she was saying that her
Becky's young kids.
So yeah, perhaps
I think
too young.
The good thing is when you're reading books to your kids, it's good if you can get something out of it as well. They can get something out of it, and the adults can. That's what you aim for, of course.
I try to get a few hidden gems in there, a few little pictorial jokes. I don't know whether I should say this.
Maybe you shouldn't.
I, Let me think. No, I'm not going to say.
Good man.
Let's just say there's a joke hidden in my Christmas book that's okay. for the adults only.
So when oh, right. the Christmas, tell us about the Christmas
oh,
book.
Oh, the Christmas one was out a couple of...
Oh, yeah. It's not a new one. It's
no,
the,
it was Father Christmas Heard a Parp.
That's, oh, yeah, that
originally
was good, yeah,
yeah. Heard a fart, but yeah. was deemed too rude,
okay.
but still called fart in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Where, so, yeah, but where it's it is outsold.
In Australia, fart. Apparently, you can swear on daytime radio.
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah, oh, yeah, apparently.
Okay.
Blimey. Max was telling me.
He goes over there and gets it all out of his system.
I think he does, yeah.
Okay. So, the Christmas book's still available, I take it, is it?
Yeah, the Christmas book's still available. Got my one giant leg. Another thing I want to quickly plug whilst
I'm here.
Of
course you can, yeah.
It's on an art vibe.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful comedian, Annie McGrath, who has organised an exhibition that starts on Friday.
So reading about this yesterday, it looks brilliant. Harry Hill's in
there. Harry Hill's in there, yeah. Vic Reeves, Joe Lycett, loads of... I've got my own painting in there, which is of a man with an onion for a head.
Right.
I'll tweet that so you can see that. But yeah, that starts on Friday, and it's all in aid of Mental Health UK.
And where's that happening?
That is at a gallery, I can't pronounce it, but it's near King's Cross. You'll be able to find it online.
Yeah, oh, okay, that sounds fantastic.
I'll tweet it. And
has life changed since you got the funniest gag at the Fringe?
Not really changed. I've got a plastic elephant to stick on my mantelpiece. in that aspect, it's changed. But no, look, I do gigs now and people recognise me from that.
Yeah, yeah. And you're still doing a lot of stuff in schools, aren't you, with the books?
Still visiting lots of schools. I've actually, because the book was about the 50th anniversary of the moon landings, the idea was to visit 50 schools. I ended up, because they were quite popular, I've now got, I think, 3 left till I've visited 100. My 100th one is on the 18th. Of December. So yeah, it's going really good.
And so we'll keep our eyes open for you to do a bit more with these football drawings. I think pressure may be brought about. The publishers should be in touch,
definitely.
Yeah, and see if they can get these.
Get me a decent Luton one in there as well,
yeah,
of course.
Good stuff. Well, good to see you, Olaf. Go and check them all out on Twitter. Just
remind
us.
You've got a website as well with it. It's Unexpected.
Porcupine. That's the publisher is Unex Porcupine of the book. Yeah,
and
that came from one of my Edinburgh shows. Was called Expect the Unex Porcupine.
And at Olaf at O Falafel, isn't it? On
O Falafel. Yeah,
Twitter.
Sounds like an Irish Middle Eastern person.
Go and check them out. Good to see you as always. Thank
Love
you very
it
much for coming
chaps.
In. We
Cheers.
Appreciate it. Olaf Falafel. The Gun Fine is really funny. Thanks for all your suggestions. Roy Keane in Aberdeen on the lash with Mr. Bean. And
that's
Kevin in Chester.
Good one, I like that.
Yeah. Graham Pole and Ashley Cole singing soul while shoveling coal, says...
too many coals.
Yeah. Sally Gunnell and Pippa Funnel digging a tunnel in... We need a place to be doing that in... I don't know, nothing rhymes with that, does it,
no,
particularly?
Really,
thank
no.
you, Gab. Ian Wright, Mark Bright having a fight on a flight to the Isle of Wight. That's quite good, isn't it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Don't ask me...
Now, last week, Annie Jacobs, not actually Annie Jacobs, Sockley Park, Annie's puppet pal, got 5 out of 5 in Don't Ask Me. So you brought him back, haven't you?
I have. Are you all right, Sockley?
Yes.
Yeah, he's fine.
It's fantastic. You're listening to Talk Sport, in case you wondered. Okay, it's the first question then based on last week's show. We spoke to Todd Macklin on Friday. Mm. We found out about a Bengals fan who said that he wouldn't do what until his team... One, he was living somewhere else. Can you remember where he was living, the Bengals fan? Said he would live somewhere else until his team won. They won, he was able to move back in.
Come on, Sockley.
Go on, Sockley. Come on, it's pretty
What's
easy.
What's wrong with you?
Where did he go and live?
I can't remember. Oh, Sockley's let us down.
Sockley's let you down?
Yeah, I don't know. I see if I can remember. No.
On his roof. He lived on his roof. Don't you remember the Bengals fan?
Don't you remember that, Sockley?
Blimey, you really are getting into this. Rick Riley, author and journalist, joined us. His book about how golf explains Donald Trump is called what?
Commander-in-Chief.
Commander-in-Chief.
Well done, Sockley. You're back.
I'm a bit worried about him now. Rob Cross, the darts player, joined us. What's his nickname?
Oh.
It goes back to his job as an electrician.
Come on, Sockley. Sparky?
Not Sparky, no, Voltage.
That's Mark Hughes, you idiot.
Yeah. He's actually talking. He's looking at it
as
he says this.
I'm a method actor.
You are method, aren't you?
I'm very method.
We spoke to Niall Ramsbottom, who was about some golf research. What university in Ireland was he from?
Limerick.
Limerick, well done. Fair. Blimey. And just, anyway, this is immaterial. Maurice Hamilton joined us, Formula One expert.
Material,
yeah, we talked about material. It's quite a basic material. Yeah, don't put him near a naked flame, will you? Because he'll go straight up.
Yeah.
Lewis, where did Lewis Hamilton win his final Grand Prix of the season? Come on, Sockley.
Come on, Sockley. Abu Dhabi.
Oh, well done, yeah. Where'd that brilliant. Come from? It's brilliant, the old recesses of his mind. Sockley. So 3 out of 5 for Sockley. He might be back next week. I think we'll get Andy looked at.
He's going to do the whole show the rest of the week.
Oh, that'll be good. Will Catter, is he ranting about Chelsea's defence as well, Sockley?
He's very unhappy.
Oh, he's an Arsenal fan, Sockley, isn't he? He'll be there tonight.
But he feels that if he'd been playing at centre-half, he would have had a better game than Christensen.
Okay.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We return tomorrow with the former Wolves keeper, Carl Hakimi, joining us in the studio. He's written his autobiography. And we look forward to seeing him. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.